الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه. أما بعد، اليوم which is الأول من شهر صفر 1446، الموافق ل الخامس من شهر أغسطس 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last درس, I guess we were talking about the knowledge of the day of judgment and the nusus that established the fact that nobody knows it except رب العالمين. And also, we just started to talk about what Ibn al-Qayyim was referring to when he said there were some people who believe that the Prophet ﷺ knows when the Day of Judgment is going to happen. And we're supposed to deal with the statement of Asyuti, and then the time did not permit us to go through that. But then I stopped. You know, I kept that one for this class. يقول المؤلف رحمه الله: وأعجب من هذا ما جاء في كلام السيوطي في الحاوي بعد أن ذكر الجواب عن السؤال عن الحديث المشتهر على ألسنة الناس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يمكث في قبره ألف سنة. He says the one that is stranger than the previous one is the statement of السيوطي, where he mentioned in his book Al-Hawi that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will not remain in his grave for more than 1,000 years, or he will not remain in the grave for 1,000 years. That means the number of the years he will be spending in the grave has to be less than 1,000 years. Qala, so Suyuti said, when he quoted this hadith, which is famous, you know, everyone is talking about that. So Asyuti said, وَأَنَا أُجِيبُ بِأَنَّهُ بَاطِلٌ لَا أَصْلِ لَهُ. He said, my answer to that, the question, somebody was asking, is it okay, is it authentic hadith? He says, my answer is that this is باطل. This is باطل. باطل means fake hadith. لَا أَصْلِ لَهُ. It doesn't have any origin. ثم ذكر أنه ألف في ذلك مؤلفا سماه الكشف عن مجاوزة هذه الأمة الألف. So he wrote a book and he titled the book with this name, with this title. And the meaning of the title means an explanation or bringing things clear to the reader that the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم will pass 1,000 years. قال فيه أولا الذي دلت عليه الآثار. So what did he mention, Suyuti, in that book? Since the book is all about informing people that it is wrong to believe that the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم cannot exceed 1,000 years. So Suyuti said, one of these evidences is the fact that دلت الذي دلت عليه الآثار أن مدة هذه الأمة تزيد عن ألف سنة. What we learned from the Nusus is that the duration this Ummah is going to live is more than 1,000 years. وَلَا تَبْلُغُ الزِّيَادَةُ عَلَيْهَا 500 سَنَةً. And on top of 1,000, you know, the Ummah will not live for more than, or they will not reach 500 years more on top of 1,000. So that means in less than 500 years, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will perish. Perishing here, I'm referring to the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment will happen, and then everyone will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ لِأَنَّهُ وَرَدَ مِنْ طُرُقٍ أَنَّ مُدَّةَ الدُّنْيَا 7,000 سَنَةً. Because we found from other places that the duration, you know, of the dunya, the time of the dunya will spent is 7,000 years. وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث في آخر الألف السادسة. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent in the last part of the ألف السادسة. ألف السادسة means the thousand number six. the end of the 6,000 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent. You get it? At the end of the 6,000 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he has the balance of the thousand number six, and he did not enter the last. I mean, he came before the beginning of the last one, the last thousand. Get it? So 7,000 years, the dunya will remain, you know, will last for 7,000 years. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first 1,000 is gone. Second one also is gone. The third one is gone. So 3,000 years have already passed. 4,000 years, 5,000 years, 6,000 years. Yeah, the thousand number six, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last part of it, he came. You get it? So that's mean his ummah is not going to stay for more than 1,500 years. And it has to be lesser than that, according to what As-Suyuti is saying. ثم ذكر حسابات خالصة منها إلى أنه لا يمكن أن تكون المدة 1,500 أصلا. And then he made some calculations as Yuti, and then at the end, he concluded that there is no way for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to live or to reach 1,500 years. You get it? He made some calculation and concluded that this Ummah cannot actually reach 1,500 years based on his calculations. ثم ذكر الأحاديث والآثار التي اعتمد عليها في ذلك ومنها ما رواه الطبراني. And then he mentioned the evidences that he was dependent on, which led him to believe in what he is saying. And one of these آثار ما رواه الطبراني في الكبير عن الضحاك ابن الزمل الجهني. So الطبراني reported this hadith from Bahak, and he says, "Ra'aytu ru'ya." This one said, "I saw a ru'ya, I saw a dream." فقصصتها على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكر الحديث وفيه إذا أنا بك يا رسول الله. So he mentioned the hadith and he said, "I told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم what I saw." But in that ru'ya, he said, "إذا أنا بك يا رسول الله على منبر فيه سبع درجات." Ya Rasulullah, I saw you on a minbar, and that minbar has seven levels. Seven levels. Wa anta fi a'laha daraja. And you are on the highest one. Okay? Level number one. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أما المنبر الذي رأيت فيه سبع رأيت فيه سبع درجات وأنا في أعلاها درجة الدنيا سبعة آلاف سنة وأنا في آخرها ألفا. He says dunya is going to be lasting for 7,000 years and I'm in the last one. So that's the interpretation of the ru'ya the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving him. You get it? So according to that ru'ya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exists in the last ages of the dunya, because dunya lives and lasts for 7,000 years. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exists in the last one. That means his ummah will never, never, never exceed, you know, 1,500 years. They will not even reach that. But they will cross 1,000 according to the calculations of As-Suyuti. So don't forget, don't get distracted, and don't leave the class now before we finish. These are all the all statements from Suyuti, which the Mu'allif says this is so strange to have this coming from a scholar like As-Suyuti. Anyway. He says, وَذَكَرَ أَنَّهُ أَخْرَجَ الْبَيْهَقِيُّ فِي الدَّلَائِلِ وَأَنَّ السُّهَيْلِيَّ ذَكَرَ أَنَّ الْحَدِيثَ ضَعِيفٌ ضَعِيفَ الْإِسْنَادِ. So, the end of the day, some of the scholars say this hadith is ضعيف. You know, according to the best opinion of the scholars, we are not allowed to use hadith that is ضعيف, especially when it comes to the matters of aqidah, especially when it comes to the aqidah matters. No way for us to use a ضعيف hadith. We don't use it in anything, but especially on these matters, there's no way for us to tolerate a hadith that is weak. But this hadith is ضعيف الإسناد. وَلَكِنَّهُ رُوِيَ مَوْقُوفًا عَلَى ابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ مِنْ طُرُقٍ صِحَاحٍ. But that was another narration which is attributed to Abdullah ibn Abbas. مَوْقُوف. مَوْقُوف means the Sahabi was the one who said it. He did not attribute it to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال من طرق صحيحة وأن الطبري وأن الطبري هذا الأصل وأعضاده ندرس سقط هي أو let me see what is missing. Okay. Maybe وذكر الطبرية because أن الطبرية هذا الأصل the word is not complete. وأعضده بآثار or maybe just trying to say that الطبري strengthen this موقوف حديث with other آثار ثم بين السيوطي أن معنى قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا في آخرها ألفا أي معظم الملة في الألف السابعة ليطابق ما سيأتي أنه بعث في آخر الألف السادسة ولو كان بعث في أول الألف السابعة كانت الأشراط الكبرى كالدجال ونزول عيسى ابن مريم وطلوع الشمس من مغربها وجدت قبل اليوم بأكثر من 100 سنة. So he says, ثم بين السيوطي أن معنى قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then Suyuti mentioned that the meaning of the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأنا في آخرها ألفا, and I am in the last thousand of this dunya. Because the dunya is 7,000, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is in the last 1,000 year that the dunya has. So the 6,000 years finished. The last one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exists in it. أي معظم الملة في الألف السابعة. So the vast majority of the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spent is going to be in the last, you know, part of this, of the age of the dunya. So 7,000 in the hadith, which is weak. It says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in the al-alf as-sadisa, mush as-sabi'a. So in the last part of the alf as-sadisa, al-alf as-sadisa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. So he took some part of the thousand number six, but then we completed the 1,000 number seven. That's the reason why Imam Suyuti said we crossed 1,000 years because we got the last 1,000 years for the dunya, and also we got some part of the previous thousand, which is right before the last one, which is the thousand number six. So that's why he said we exceeded 1,000, but we would not reach 1,500 years according to those calculation he gave. So he was saying this ليطابق ما سيأتي أنه بعث في الأواخر الألف السادسة. He says so that the Prophet said, "Wa ana fi akhirha alfan." If you don't make this explanation, then it will not match with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Allah subhanahu wa taala has sent me the last part of the thousand number six." قال ولو كان بعث في أول السابعة. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent in the first part of the thousand number last, that's thousand number seven. كانت الأشراط الكبرى قد ظهرت كالدجال ونزول عيسى بن مريم وطلوع الشمس من مغربها قد وجدت قبل اليوم بأكثر من 100 سنة. Imam Suyuti says if we don't have this explanation, then we have to believe that all of those signs of the day of judgment, like Dajjal, Isa ibn Maryam, sun rising from the west, already happened before this time of ours, 100 years ago, before this time of ours, before today. Meaning, from the time Imam Suyuti was talking, he says, if we don't have this explanation, then we have to believe that these major signs of the Day of Judgment already took place 100 years ago. قال لتقوم الساعة عند تمام الألف. Because if you don't believe in this, then the Day of Judgment will not happen at the end of the last 1,000 years mentioned by that hadith. قال ولم يوجد شيء من ذلك فدل. And he says we don't find any sign of the Day of Judgment that happens. فدل على أن الباقي من الألف السابع أكثر من 300 سنة. He says, and that means what left for the 1,000, the last 1,000 years is more than 300 years. So these are calculations Imam Suyuti was making to establish the fact, according to him, that we will not, the world or the dunya will not exceed 7,000 years. قال وهذا ملخص كلام السيوطي. He said this is the summarized version of what Imam Suyuti said. وهو مصادم لصريح القرآن. And this is contradicting the clear or the apparent meaning of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the literal meaning. Meaning it is contradicting the text of the Quran, the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. قال ولل أحاديث الصحيحة ولل أحاديث الصحيحة and also contradict authentic ahadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم من أن مدة الدنيا لا يعلمها أحد إلا الله تبارك وتعالى because there is no text, no narration that shows that dunya lives this time that is going to end at this time. Nobody knows when dunya is going to finish. Nobody knows except Rabbul Alameen. You get it? The beginning, if the angels came before the existence of the dunya, so Allah might inform them about the time he created the dunya, but when is it going to end? Nobody knows. So if nobody knows when it will be ending, then nobody will know how much time dunya is going to be spending. قال فإنا لو عرفنا مدة الدنيا لعلمنا متى تقوم الساعة. Because if we are to know, if we know the time the dunya is going to be spending, then for sure we know when the day of judgment is going to happen. وقد علمت فيما سبق من الآيات القرآنية والأحاديث النبوية أن الساعة لا يعلم وقت قيامها إلا الله. And we already mentioned that the day of judgment, nobody knows when it will happen except رب العالمين. قال وأيضا إن الواقع يرد على ذلك يرد ذلك فإننا في بداية القرن الخامس عشر الهجري. You know, he says, and also the common sense rejected this thing that he is talking about. Yeah, because he says فإننا في بداية القرن الخامس الهجري 15th century, the beginning of it, we are right in the beginning of the 15th century. الهجري, the Hijri, according to the Hijri calendar, he said, "ولم يخرج الدجال," and the Dajjal did not come. You get it? So that means we already reached the 1,500 years, and the Dajjal did not come yet. قال ولم ينزل عيسى بن مريم فإن السيوطي ذكر أنه ورد أن الدجال يخرج على رأس مئة. على رأس مئة ولم ينزل عيسى بن مريم. So Suyuti is mentioning that the Dajjal will come at the beginning of 100 years, but the Dajjal is not here with us and it did not arrive yet. ولم ينزل عيسى بن مريم فيقتله. And عيسى بن مريم did not come to kill at the Dajjal. ثم يمكث في الأرض 40 سنة. And he is going to remain on earth for 40 years. وأن الناس يمكثون بعد طلوع الشمس من مغربها 120 سنة. And people are going to remain after the rising of the sun from the west. People are going to remain for 120 years. وأن بين النفختين 40 سنة. And between the two blowing, the blowing that will take the life of the people and the one that will bring them back, you have 40 years. فهذه 100 سنة لا بد منها. So these are, you know, 200 years that must pass, okay? Have to pass. You calculate all of that which is mentioned. We have 200 years. They must pass first. قال فعلى كلامه لو خرج الدجال الآن لا بد من 100 سنة فيكون قيام الساعة بعد 1600 سنة. So he said, according to his calculations, if the Dajjal is around, then we need 200 years to come, and so altogether, you know, based on what he said here and there, then altogether we'll come up with 1600 sana, 1600 years. And he said there is no way for the ummah to cross 1500 years. We would not even reach at that one according to his calculation. قال: وبهذا يتبين بطلان كل حديث ورد في تحديد مدة الدنيا. He says, based on this, you should know that any hadith that tells you the time the dunya will be spent in, this hadith is batil. وقد ذكر ابن القيم في كتابه المنار المنيف أمورا كلية يعرف بها كون الحديث أو كون الحديث موضوعه. ابن القيم mentioned general principles in his book المنار المنيف, which I talk about it last درس. He mentioned principles which a student of knowledge can use to detect hadith that is fabricated. منها مخالفة الحديث صريح القرآن. You know, one of these principles that the hadith is going against the clear text of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? Clear text of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith is going against it. That hadith is fabricated. Because there is no sunnah that goes against the Quran. Never. You know. قال: منها مخالفة الحديث صريح القرآن كحديث مقدار الدنيا. That's what Ibn Qayyim does. He will give you a principle and then give you some of the examples so that you can build upon this example to, you know, your own instruction and move forward. قال: just like the hadith of مقدار الدنيا, the hadith that says dunya will remain for this amount of years and then everything will finish. وأنها 7000 سنة. The hadith that says dunya will remain for 7,000 years. قال: ونحن في الألف السابعة. ونحن في الألف السابعة. And we are in the hadith says 7,000 سنة. ونحن في الألف السابعة. And we are in the thousand number seven. قال: وهذا من أبين الكذب. He said this is one of the clearest lies attributed to the deen. لأنه لو كان صحيحا لكان كل أحد عالما أنه قد بقي للقيامة من وقتنا هذا 200 وأحد وخمسون سنة. He says if this is true, then everyone already knows the time when Qiyamah will happen, and also nothing left for this dunya except 251 years left. قال: فإن ابن القيم عاش في القرن الثامن الهجري. Because Ibn al-Qayyim lived in the Qarn al-Thamin al-Hijri, 18th century, using the, 8th century, using the Hijra calendar. فقال هذا الكلام, and Ibn al-Qayyim said this word, وقد مر على كلامي هذا أكثر من 652 سنة. And from the time Ibn al-Qayyim was talking, we have 600 years, 652 years pass. ولم تنقض الدنيا, and the dunya did not finish yet. وقال ابن كثير والذي في كتب الإسرائيليين. So what Ibn al-Qayyim and what the Sheikh the Mu'allif is trying to say is that you should take this as a principle that you work with. Anything that tells you how much time dunya will spend or when dunya will finish, this hadith is fabricated. You don't need to go to a scholar and ask. Whatever hadith you find that tells you the amount of the dunya or the time when the day of judgment is going to happen, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or anybody else from amongst the khalq Allah azza wa jalla knows the day of judgment, this hadith is fabricated. So that's how they simplify and summarize and make life easy for you, yeah, to become a professor when it comes to this matter. وقال ابن كثير والذي في كتب الإسرائيليين وأهل الكتاب وأهل الكتاب من تحديد ما سلف بألوف بألوف ومئتين من السنين وقد نص غير واحد من العلماء على تخطئتهم فيه وتغليطهم وهم جديرون بذلك حقيقي حقيقون حقيق قونا به وقد ورد في حديث الدنيا جمعة من جمعة إلى آخر ولا يصح إسناده أيضا وكذا كل حديث ورد في تحديد وقت يوم القيامة على التعيين لا يثبت إسناده. Ibn Kathir says whatever comes in the books of the أهل الكتاب الإسرائيليين بني إسرائيل وأهل الكتاب من تحديد ما سلف بألوف بألوف ومئتين ومئتين من السنين. He says whatever comes of specification of the time the dunya spent before we exist, and the dunya spent this thousands of years and 200 years. Ibn Kathir says many scholars mention that they're wrong and they deserve this. If you look at them in terms of changing the religion and introducing their own version of things, he says they deserve whatever the scholars said about them. And وَقَدْ وَرَدَ حَدِيثٌ, that is a hadith that came which says الدُّنْيَا جُمْعَةٌ مِنْ جُمَعِ الْآخِرَةِ. الدُّنْيَا جُمْعَةٌ مِنْ جُمَعِ الْآخِرَةِ. It means seven segments. So this is exactly like the hadith of the 7,000 years that the dunya is going to be spent in. So it says Jum'ah has 7 days. So each day you take it as 1,000 years. So 7,000 years that dunya is going to be spent in, and then everything will finish. This hadith also la yasih isnadu. And he also said any hadith that you got from whoever which says that dunya is going to remain for a certain amount of time, this hadith also is fake. كما أنه لا يعلم أحد متى تقوم الساعة فكذلك لا يعلم أحد متى تظهر أشراط الساعة. It says also وكما أنه لا يعلم أحد متى تقوم الساعة كذلك فكذلك لا يعلم أحد متى تظهر أشراط الساعة. It says just like the way nobody knows when the day of judgment will happen, and also nobody knows when the signs of the day of judgment are going to take place. We just have to wait until we see. You cannot predict that Dajjal is coming now, that Mahdi is coming now. No, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Just like the way you don't know when the day of judgment is going to happen, and the signs of the day of judgment also we don't know. وَمَا وَرَدَ أَنَّهُ فِي سَنَةِ كَذَا يَكُونُ كَذَا وَفِي سَنَةِ كَذَا يَحْصُلُ كَذَا فَلَيْسَ بِصَحِيحٍ. Whatever you see in the hadith, which is saying that in this year this is going to happen, in this year this and this is going to happen, you see, all of these are not authentic. Because he says we don't even have the tariq in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It came afterwards. وَإِنَّمَا وَضَعَهُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ اجْتِهَادًا مِنْهُ. Umar was the one who did that based on ijtihad. The Prophet ﷺ was not using the calendar. This Hijri calendar came afterwards, after the Prophet ﷺ. Then how is it possible you find in that hadith Rasulullah ﷺ saying the year this and that and this will happen? The Sunnah doesn't go like this. قال وجعل بداية هجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المدينة وجعل بدايته هجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المدينة. He made the first part of the history to be the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. Umar was the one who did that. So therefore, any hadith that came and refers you to the calendar, the Islamic calendar, this hadith is fake because there was no Islamic calendar at that time. You get it? So that's why sometimes they say wadda'un basiratuhum yani tutmas. SubhanAllah, they go against the common sense in their statement. Things which they have to think about it before they write any fake hadith. Sometimes, SubhanAllah, the basira will be gone. قال القرطبي فإن أخبر فإنما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الفتن والكوائن أن ذلك يكون وتعيين الزمان في ذلك من سنة كذا يحتاج إلى طريق صحيح يقطع العذر وإنما ذلك كوقت قيام الساعة فلا يعلم أحد في أي سنة هي ولا أي شهر وأما أنها تكون في يوم الجمعة في آخر ساعة منها وهي الساعة التي خلق الله فيها آدم ولكن أي جمعة لا يعلم أو لا يعلم تعيين ذلك اليوم أو لا يعلم تعيين ذلك اليوم إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وكذلك ما يكون من الأشراط تعيين الزمان لها لا يعلم، والله أعلم. So القرطبي said, whatever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that will happen before the day of judgment من الفتن and things that will exist before the day of judgment, he says everything will happen exactly in the way the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said it with no doubt. However, you know, specifying the time which this will happen, you know, he says this one يحتاج إلى طريق صحيح. You need a very strong evidence, authentic evidence to establish this. The one that you have no excuse to reject it, because these are matters of aqidah. Says just like the time when the day of judgment will happen. So all of these things that the Prophet also mentioned that will take place before the day of judgment, they are just like the day of judgment itself. Nobody knows when it's going to happen, which year, what month is going to happen. Nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma annaha takun fi yawm al-jum'ah fi akhir sa'at minha. As for the statement that says that Qiyamah is going to happen on Friday and the last part of the Friday, and this is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, this is true. And the Prophet also mentioned in the hadith that in Jum'ah, last part of Jum'ah, but which Jum'ah? Yeah? Which Jum'ah? Nobody knows which Jum'ah exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring the day of judgment. So nobody knows that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if this is the case, the ashratu sa'ah kadhalika, nobody knows when this sharat is going to happen, when that sharat is going to happen, except Rabbu al-Alameen. So to conclude this topic, yani what you go out with it from this topic is that nobody knows when the Day of Judgment is going to happen. And any statement we find from Asyuti and many others who follow Asyuti in this regard, this statement, if it tells you dunya is going to live certain amount of years and then the Qiyamah will happen, this statement is fake. This statement is fake. And secondly, just like the way we don't know when the Day of Judgment will happen, we also don't know when this sharat, this sign of the Day of Judgment, when is it going to take place, and when the other one is going to take place. So just like the way we don't know when the Qiyamah will happen, and also we don't know when the signs of the Day of Judgment will take place. So we just have to wait to see when these signs will take place according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed them. So this is good for us to understand this, because we have some who are going around telling people about the existence of Dajjal, or he does exist, and Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, and all of these, you know, useless statements that should be thrown into the garbage. So if you remember what I said earlier, that the signs of the Day of Judgment are part of the knowledge of the unseen, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it, and nobody knows it. La malakum muqarrabun wa la nabiyyu Musa. And also, if you understand this, you will understand that we just have to take whatever we are told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam literally. We just have to understand it literally. Literally means we know the meaning in Arabic. You know, we know what he meant because he's speaking Arabic language, so we know what does it mean in Arabic. And we understand it in the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said it. But how is it going to happen? If the hadith did not explain that, then in this case, we have to stay away from any explanation. Okay, we take it literally without any further detail. Unless if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us those details, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do that. So it remains in knowledge of the unseen. We take it literally and wait to see what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring regarding that matter. So this is the end of this topic. Let me take a little bit, inshallah, from the next one, and then we close the class for questions, inshallah. قال المبحث السادس قرب قيام الساعة. Day of Judgment is near. This mabhath, this chapter will be dealing with this. The closeness of the Day of Judgment, that it is very near. قال تدل الآية القرآنية الكريمة والأحاديث الصحيحة على قرب الساعة ودنوها. It says the nusus of Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are all indicating that the Day of Judgment is very near. فإن ظهور أكثر أشراط الساعة دليل على قربها وعلى أنها في آخر أيام الدنيا وعلى أننا في آخر أيام الدنيا. It says because having many, if not most of the signs of the Day of Judgment, he's talking about the small, the minor signs of the Day of Judgment, most of them already happened. He says this fact, which everyone sees, he says is a clear evidence to show to us that we are very close to the Day of Judgment, and we exist at the last part of this, the days of this dunya. قال تعالى اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة موردون. The hisab of the people is very near. However, people are in a state of negligence. The Day of Judgment, he says, اقترب للناس حسابهم. Hisab is very near, but people are still negligent. وقال تعالى وما يدريك لعل الساعة تكون قريبة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Day of Judgment is very near. What makes you think that the Day of Judgment will take longer time? Perhaps the Day of Judgment is very, very near. وقال تعالى إنهم يرونه بعيدا ونراه قريبا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they see the Day of Judgment, the existence of the Day of Judgment, to be something that is too far to take place right now. It's too far from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ونراه قريبا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for us is very near. وقال تعالى اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The Day of Judgment is very close. One of the evidence to confirm this, انشقاق القمر, he said that moon split. So the split of the moon split is a sign of the Day of Judgment. And when does that happen? In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now we pass 1,000. You know, from the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exist, we pass 1,446 years, almost that amount of years. So if the Day of Judgment was very near at that time, so it should be nearer in our time. Yeah. قال إلى غير ذلك من الآيات الكثيرة الدالة على قرب نهاية هذا العالم الدنيوي. He says we have many other evidences that are showing that this alam, this dunya of ours, is about to finish. والانتقال إلى دار الآخرة, and we're about to move to the دار الآخرة. قال ينال فيها كل عامل عمله, where everyone is going to receive what he did here. إن خيرا فخيرا وإن شرا فشرا. If it is good, you will receive good. You know, if it is good, you will receive good. If it is bad, you will receive bad. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت أنا والساعات كهاتين. بعثت أنا والساعات كهاتين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me together with the Day of Judgment كهاتين ويشير بأصبعه بأصبعه فيمدهما. And he is pointed in another narration that we pass, he pointed at the, I mean, he uses the al-sabaha, al-sababa, wal-wusta. You know, he connected them together and stretched them. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت في نسم الساعة. So if you say the nasm or nasam, and that means in the people, in the Day of Judgment, the people in which the Day of Judgment will take place, where they are in existence. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me, you know, amongst the people of the Day of Judgment, the people that the Day of Judgment will happen when they are alive. This is one of the meaning given to it by the scholars. وَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّمَا أَجَلُكُمْ فِي أَجَلِ مَنْ خَلَى مِنَ الْأُمَمْ مَا بَيْنَ صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ وَصَلَاةِ وَمَغْرِبِ الشَّمْسِ. Sorry. Says, إِنَّمَا أَجَلُكُمْ فِي أَجَلِ مَنْ خَلَى مِنَ الْأُمَمْ مَا بَيْنَ صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ وَمَغْرِبِ الشَّمْسِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, your ajal in comparison to the ajal of those nation that came before you, the nations that passed you, your ajal, you know, the life time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in relation to the nation before us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's just like the duration between Salat al-Asr and Maghrib al-Shams, in the Asr prayer time until sunset. So this is the shortest, you know, time within the day, right? The shortest time. So the vast majority of it has been taken by them, and we are taking the last part of this time given to the dunya. So the Prophet ﷺ said, our ajal in comparison to the ajal of those who came before us, is just like the duration between Asr prayer and the Maghrib Shams, Qurb Shams. In some places, you know, it's just 2 hours, 2.5 hours or less. قال وأنا عمر رضي الله عنه قال كنا جلوسا عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والشمس على قيعان بعد العصر فقال ما أعماركم في أعمار من مضى إلا كما بقي من النهار فيما مضى منه. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this author of Umar, hadith of Umar, he says, we are sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and وَالشَّمْسُ عَلَى قُعَيْقِعَان. قُعَيْقِعَان is a mountain. Okay, it's a mountain. It is explained by the Sharih. He says it's a mountain. So the sun was on top of that mountain. That means in the process of setting. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma a'marukum fi a'mari man madha illa kama baqiya min an-nahari fi ma madha minhu." He says, "Your age in comparison to the age of those who came before you is just like the time that left for the sun to set, you know, on this day. You know, from the time the moment you see the sun on top of that mountain, that means it's in the process of, you know, disappearing." He says, the time that left for it to disappear is just like the time that left for you to finish this dunya in relation to the time that already passed. So we have the day, right, from morning until that moment, which is after Asr. So this is the vast majority of the day. What left is little. So what already passed is just like the age of the previous nation. What remains is just like our age. This is what the Prophet ﷺ is trying to say, that our age is the shortest one. The last matter prescribed for the dunya, a time to spend. So the vast majority of it was gone. What remains is the smallest amount of it, the balance of it, which is marking the age of the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. So all of these are confirming the fact that we are very near to the day of judgment. قال وهذا يدل على أن ما بقي بالنسبة إلى ما مضى شيء يسير. So this shows that what left in comparison to what already passed is very little, and we are in that little. Okay? ولكن لا يعلم مقدار ما مضى إلا الله. But how long the dunya has spent, we don't know. Nobody knows except Allah. ولما جاء فيه التحديد يصح سنادوه عن المعصوم حتى يستعار إليه. He says, and also we don't find anything from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that fixes the amount, that tells us precisely how long dunya was living. So we don't have this. We don't have this in authentic narration. We might have fake and fabricated ahadith, but authentic narration we don't have. قال ويعلم نسبة ما بقي بالنسبة إليه. So we don't have this, which to relate what left to that one. We don't have a fixed amount that you can relate what left to it. We don't have. ولكنه قليل جدا بالنسبة إلى ما مضى. We learned, since the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is making a comparison with that, using that day, then we learned that what left is very little. Because he says, from the time that we pray Asr, what left for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at that It's just that duration between Asr prayer time until Maghrib Shams, until Maghrib prayer. Which, if you relate this time, this duration, to the time from the beginning of the day up to this moment, the last one, the first one is the smallest amount. So this is the time for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we learn that it's very little, very short, but how many is that? We don't know. وليس هناك أبلغ من قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في قرب قيام الساعة. So there is nothing you can find which is stronger than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I'm sorry, stronger than the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in terms of informing people that your judgment is very near, which is better than this hadith. You know, you will never find something stronger than this hadith in this regard. بعثت أنا والساعة جميعا إن كادت لتسبقني. Prophet said, Allah has sent me together with the Day of Judgment. He said it was, so it's like they were racing. He said it was almost going to, you know, overtake me, the Prophet said. قال فهذه إشارة إلى شدة قربها من بعثته صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى خشي سبقها له لعظم القرب. He says this is a clear indication from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that shows that the Day of Judgment is very, very near. In the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was afraid of Day of Judgment happening before his demise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So this is the end of this. Inshallah, in the next dars, we move to the second. I mean, the first bab. On this topic, which we'll begin with the Ashrat al-Sa'ah, inshallah. So we have been introducing the Ashrat al-Sa'ah. So inshallah, in the next class, بإذن واحد الأحد, we will start the first lesson on the Ashrat al-Sa'ah. That we will talk about the ta'rif, the meaning of Ashrat al-Sa'ah, أقسام Ashrat al-Sa'ah, and then Ashrat al-Sa'ati al-Kubra, al-Sughra. Ashrat al-Sa'ati al-Sughra, the minor signs of the Day of Judgment, will take the vast majority of the book, and then we close with the biggest one, inshallah. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There are two questions.
Yes, Adam.
From Shafa. The sister asks, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. I have a friend who wants to study medicine and become a doctor. However, her parents are concerned about her studying MBBS, which is the medical degree, because it involves dealing with dead bodies and other sensitive matters, Satar. They believe it may not be permissible in Islam and are not allowing her to study. Could you please explain the Islamic ruling regarding a sister studying a medical degree? And how can she explain this to her parents?
Is a necessity, actually. Honestly speaking, is a necessity to have sisters in that field. I see it as a big jihad for the Muslim ummah to have sisters studying, because what we have nowadays is very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. We have a hospital, we know how it works. It's not easy, you know, to find a sister who qualifies doing things. And also, she has good akhlaq and manners. So it's necessary. Going to be dealing with awrat, sensitive matters. We need sisters to be in that field. So sometimes we have to close our eyes to do what is called irtikab akhafid dharrain, taking the lesser of the two evils. This is a very small amount of that study, small dimension, which I think shouldn't distract us as Muslim, you know, to have our sisters studying that. But on top of all, we need tarbiyah to be incorporated in those education. If the place where she will study is a good place where she will be able to preserve her honor and dignity, then the parents should let her go. They should support her and try to guide her, you know, and keep their own good relationship with her. Because in our knowledge, one of the most disturbing fields is this, where corruption exists, especially when it comes to manners and akhlaq. Yeah. As I said, we we have these type of you know, should I call them study, you know, and experiences. So we know some of these things that are going in that field. The most important thing, as I said, is to confirm that this place has strong discipline that can preserve the honor and dignity of that sister who studied, and the mother should let her go. Wallah, I believe the Ummah need this. It is a necessity nowadays to have a good sister who studies medicine and who is able to be patient. Yeah, because most of the sisters, unfortunately, they are not patient. They go to that field arrogantly and not being able to understand, you know, the mission, you know, on them. You know, you find others, you know, subhanAllah, kuffar, you know, and they talk nicely. They do things in the way it should be done. But you go to your brothers from the Muslims, you see angry faces, you know. Your sickness might increase, you know, rather than getting relief from that person. You know, you have people who don't want to go and visit some of our sisters. Very unfortunate, very unfortunate. And we have heard this not from us and from other places also like that. A friend of mine, very close friend of mine, he opened eye specialist hospital, one of the best hospital in that region. But wallah, he told me it was not easy for them to get a sister who is willing to work with them, with a good salary, with the free training. They do for everything. They just want, you know, to have two sections, sections for the brothers and sections for the sisters. Come on, deal with this. With this section, most of them reject. They don't want. They want a place with where there's a free mixing and all of these things. It's not easy to convince, and even if you get, it's not easy to deal with them. What is this? You know what happened to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, I don't know. So my answer to that question and my advice to the mother, if she's listening to us, if she's not, then that daughter should see a way to convey this message to her. It is a necessary. To have, is it a necessity to have female medical doctor, especially gynecologists, gynecology and dentistry, you know, all of those things that are, you know, that involve very close contact to the patient, you know, very close, you know, what do you call contact with the patient. We need sisters to be in that field. So somebody should convey the message to her that this is a necessity. You know, the Ummah is in need of this. Somebody who is educated, who is religious, who is an expert in that field, who will come and convey the Risalah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and show mercy to the patient and do it with amana. We need sisters to be in this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the heart of the mother to see what we are seeing. And also may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to see the time when these institutions, medical institutions, you know, they are, you know, well equipped with strong integration and amana in the way they don't raise and graduate corrupt and bad manners, you know, bad manner kind of people. Yeah, because we do have the doctors. It's not like we don't have, we do have. But unfortunately, most of them, their behavior is not up to the level where Islam is looking for. In some places, doctors believe that they have some exemption. They are exempted from the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might get, you know, subhanAllah, respect from a non-Muslim, which you have to fight through this when you are dealing with your Muslim brothers and sisters. Very unfortunate, very unfortunate. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good, but as I said, please do convince your mother to let you go if the place is conducive for you. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Second question.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Sheikh, barakallahu fikum. From Uzair, a question from a brother. I want to buy a plane ticket. There are two options. A normal ticket, or I pay more for a flexible ticket where I can change my flight dates for free. The flexible ticket is also covered under traveler's insurance. Is it permissible for me to pay extra and buy the flexible ticket so I can change my flight date for free as I may have to? I'm not buying it for the insurance.
Yeah, it's fine. Bismillah azawajal. When something comes with other benefits, but you have the one that you are intending, especially what you mentioned, it's halal. Increase the money. If you know that the possibility of you changing the ticket is always there, it's good to have those kind of ticket which are flexible, and then don't use insurance. That's it, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh from Abdul Rahman. I would like to ask an explanation on the hadith of Abu Hurairah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Most of the torment in the grave is due to carelessness with urine."
No.
Tirmidhi 348. What is carelessness with urine referring to?
Not purifying a person's self when he uses the bath. Yeah, this is explained through the other nusus of the Prophet sallallahu. A person is not cleaning himself properly from the urine. That's the reference. It's not just passing the urine itself, akramakum Allah, but it's just not being serious when it comes to the urine. But when I say seriousness, also we have to understand that exaggeration and ghulu in tahara is also wrong, where a person will go and subhanAllah do a lot of strange things. You know, according to him, he's making sure that he clean himself from the urine. But we don't need to do that. The system is designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to accommodate what we're doing. You get it? So what the hadith is talking about is that a person should make sure that when he uses the bathroom, he performed the tahara correctly. And don't let the balance of the urine touch his clothes, and then he goes and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَنَزَّهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ فَإِنَّ عَمَّةَ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ مِنْهُ. It means a person should make sure that he stays away from, I mean, he cleans himself from the urine after using the bathroom. Sheikh. Yes, Adam.
That's all, Sheikh.
Hey, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See
Wa
you in the
alaikum
next class
assalam
tomorrow, inshallah.
wa barakatuh.